Well, let's pray, shall we?
O Lord our God, the one who is holy, we realize indeed, O Lord, that the seraphim say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And Lord, we would recognize that we have to take the shoes from off our feet and remember that the ground whereon we stand is holy ground. Who is able to stand before this holy God? And yet, Lord, we thank you that we are because of Christ, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. We thank you, O Lord, that he has made us worthy. We thank you, Lord, that all our worthiness is in him. We thank you that we are clothed with his imputed righteousness. We thank you that we are washed in his sinless blood. We thank you indeed, O Lord, that although you are glorious in holiness, at the same time we can call you Abba, Father. We bless you, Lord, that we can come to you because of that holy love, that you loved us and sent your Son to die for us. And we realize, O Lord, this morning that we are debtors to mercy alone. We pray, O God, that as we come here, that you will be with us by your Spirit, and that our worship may be acceptable unto you. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to the Word of God this morning, to Mark's Gospel in chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading at verse 21. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. And when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child, and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. And he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. So reads that precious portion of the Word of God. Great God in heaven, the one who is high and lofty, the one who sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers, the one whose throne is established, and has always been there from eternity, and will be there to eternity. We bless you, Lord, that we who are people of time can come to you this day, the one who has made us, the one who has made us in his own image. And yet, Lord, there is the need for the restoration of that image. We thank you, Lord, for that restoration work going on with the aid of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, that precious gift, that amazing love gift, that gracious gift, a gift to the most unworthy, and yet a gift that in order through that gift, that you might get great glory to your great name. We thank you, Lord, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we would indeed have to say with Paul the Apostle of old, of whom I am the chief. But we bless you, O Lord, this morning that we are saints, that we have been separated, and that, Lord, indeed, that we are to live to your honour and to your glory. We thank you, Lord, that the Lord Jesus is very precious to each one of us who are believers. And we do pray, Lord, that we might come to know him more and serve him better. We pray indeed, O Lord, for that work in Priory Park today in Southend. And pray, O Lord, that there might be many opportunities to speak of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the many opportunities for witness last year. And we do pray, O Lord, that this year that there might be those who shall come to know the Lord Jesus as a result of that witness in Priory Park. We pray indeed, O Lord, that your good hand might be upon this fellowship next Saturday. O Lord, our God, we pray most of all that your felt presence might be there. We pray indeed, O Lord, that your name will be glorified. We pray, Lord, that you might undertake for the one who is to minister. And pray, O Lord, for Tom here, that you might continue to have your hand upon him and his dear wife, and that you might use him in this place for your praise and for your honour and for your glory. O Lord, our God, do come and meet with us next Friday too. And may there indeed be the presence of the one who is the resurrection and the life. And we pray indeed, O Lord, that those who come to that thanksgiving who are not believers, that there might be in their lives a spiritual resurrection, that they might be brought from death to life. O Lord, our God, we pray that you might bring to life. We thank you, Lord, for Paul and Janet and their commitment to Peggy over many years. O Lord, our God, we thank you for the much love that was shown to her. And O Lord, our God, we remember Peggy with much love and with much affection. O glorious God, we look to you and pray that you might be gracious to us when we turn to your word this morning. O Lord, our God, hear us, we pray. We pray indeed, O Lord, for this godless nation. We realize, O Lord, that we are in a day of great wickedness. But we thank you, O Lord, for the mighty power of truth. And we bless you that the Lord Jesus is building his church. And we know that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Hear us, O Lord, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Will you turn in the Word of God this morning to that passage that we read together in Mark chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at this woman with the flow of blood. Now we read in verse 25, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." One thing we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here, among many other things, is that he was always available as the great healer. He was already here on an errand of mercy. He was already going to Jairus' house to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead when he was confronted by this poor, needy woman. Crowds of people had already gathered around our blessed Lord and had heard this great appeal by Jairus. You can almost hear the gasp of the people as they saw Jairus coming and falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus, because he recognized that he was in great need. He realized that he was in great need of the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a desperate man, and he was coming to the glorious person of the Son of God. And when the crowd saw a synagogue ruler, he would never normally have done that, falling at Jesus' feet and praying, we read that Jesus went with him. And you can just imagine the crowds on this occasion. He was going to a dying girl of 12. We read in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18 that Jairus has said, "My daughter is even now dead." The crowds were curious. "We want to really see this. What is going to happen now? This should be something worth watching. A young girl being brought back from the dead. Do you think he will do it?" And no doubt if the Capernaum Gazette had been around, it would have made headlines in those days. And the Lord Jesus could hardly move for the crowds. He didn't have police protection. And the crowds were pushing and shoving and jostling. And it must have been a real struggle for the Lord Jesus to get to Jairus' house as the crowd pushed around Jairus and as the crowd pushed around Jesus. Here was Jairus' daughter. She had no doubt been the joy and delight of her father in that household for 12 years. But there was this woman who came to Jesus, who had been in sorrow for 12 years. This woman had lived in deep sorrow, while Jairus had lived with great joy. But they were both to be receivers of the gracious, loving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what was the sickness of this poor woman? She had an excessive discharge of blood. It was a discharge that was considered unclean in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 25, we read these words: "If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as a bed of impurity, and whatever she sits on shall be unclean, and the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean till evening." It meant that she was to be considered an outcast, that she was unfit for the society of others. She was in a desperate and a terrible situation. There was no doubt bodily pain. And no doubt over the years there had been great anxiety. Oh, where can I be free of this terrible sickness? The weeks, the months, the years had gone. And yet still she had this terrible and this awful discharge. And she had tried to find a cure. And she had looked everywhere for the cure and had failed. We read in verse 26, she has spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. There were no national health service in those days, and it was impossible to be cured without money. She had probably been a woman of means 12 years before, and yet she had gone down her savings hoping to be cured. And you can imagine her going to one doctor after another, optimistic, hoping that this particular person would be able to cure her of this terrible sickness, only to be terribly disappointed, and not only terribly disappointed, but only too much aware that her sickness was getting even better. You can imagine how sad she must have felt. You can imagine how frustrating she must have felt it to be. Perhaps people have said to her, go to this doctor, try him, I've heard good reports about him. Only to know what it was to be terribly disappointed in her search for healing. The medicines, rather than restraining the disorder, increased it. Oh, if only I could be cured. If only there was an answer to my desperate problem. One doctor, another doctor, another doctor, and still no good. And many people go through life like that. It's the life that you live. You only have one life. And you must seek to do all the good that you can. You must help the poor and help the aged. You must seek to change your life and seek to change your standards. You must seek to be a moral person. You must reform your life. You must seek to be a good citizen. And yet they try it. And there's still this problem, this nagging, deep-rooted problem, the problem of sin. And they go to another doctor. They go to the doctor of religion. They go to a church that suits them. And they go and they bow before a certain God. Give yourself to this particular organization. Go on pilgrimages. Pray and weep. Try and be a good Christian. And yet still the disease gnaws away at the soul. There is no peace, because they have just become outward observers of a particular kind of religion. And many people go from place to place, go from doctor to doctor, hoping that they will be cured, hoping that they will find the answer for their deepest need. There are many in religions this morning. But the Lord Jesus alone is the one who is able to heal. You think of the many that must have thronged around the Lord Jesus on this occasion. But not everyone felt his healing power. This woman did. Where do you stand? Do you still have this gnawing, terrible, awful disease? This woman had not only failed, but she had spent all that she had. She had come to all the other doctors. She had paid the price. She had taken the medicine. But when she came to Jesus, she had no money left. She had nothing left. She came without money. And my friend, if you would come for healing this morning, young person, if you would come for healing this morning, it is like this woman, nothing in my hand I bring. You may have tried some of it. You may have tried to live a better life. This woman was penniless. She couldn't go to any more doctors. She had no more money left. And she'd lost her health. And she'd lost her wealth. And she'd also lost her standing in society. Do you know what it is to see a disease in your heart? A disease that's uncontrollable. A disease that you were born with. Indeed, the Bible says that you are conceived with. And you don't know where to find the answer. And you've heard about the answer. But you've never come to the one person who can deal with that great disease. You've never had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be like this woman this morning. She came with trust and just a touch of the Lord Jesus. She came with faith. She heard of Jesus. We know that in verse 27. When she heard about Jesus. I wonder what she heard about Jesus. Perhaps she'd heard that he was a great, wonderful miracle worker. Perhaps she'd heard about things that he'd done. About the wonderful cures that had come. She heard perhaps that he was pleased to go, prepared to go with Jairus. Perhaps she'd heard that he had healed a leper. And she'd heard about his power and his pity. That he would respond to people in every different social class. What an amazing thing to heal a leper. And she'd heard about Jesus. And even now he was passing along the streets. She had hoped in doctors before. But there was one final possibility. And that was this man. This remarkable, unique man. This Lord Jesus. She had never heard of a doctor like this. A doctor where there was a guaranteed healing. A doctor that took no fees for his services. This man was unique. This man was amazing. There'd never been a person like it. And she came to the Lord Jesus with a great sense of urgency. Because though she was weak and feeble, and although the crowds were thronging the Lord Jesus, she felt how desperate her need was. And how great her belief must have been in his power that nothing could keep her from him. There were the crowds pushing and pressing upon Jesus. Full of expectancy, full of wonder, what's going to happen now at Jairus' house? And no doubt many of them consider themselves to be okay. And for them there was no need of a great doctor. And they were pressing upon him. But they weren't being healed. Because the Lord Jesus came for those who were sick. And they did not see themselves to be sick. This poor woman was sick and she knew it. And she knew too that she was condemned by the Levitical law. And so unworthy did this woman feel that she did not tell him publicly, but came privately. And you can see her pushing her hand through the crowd and touching but the hem of his garment. How different from the Pharisees, those who came to Jesus and spoke without respect to him. How different from Pilate and Herod, who spoke so ungraciously to the Lord Jesus. You see, those who really desire the power of Christ do it privately in their own hearts. And you must come privately in your own heart. Jesus did not make a great appeal for those who wanted healing to come forward. People came to Christ when they recognized their need of his power. And perhaps she reasoned with herself, though I am such a poor, undone sinner, although I am declared unclean by the law, although I am unable to obtain a cure, I've tried it all. Yet I do believe that this glorious person is the one alone that can cure me of this terrible illness. If I can but by faith lay hold upon him, only in a weak way, only a touch, even in a trembling manner, I shall be healed. I cannot be healed by the other doctors. There is no one else that I can go to. They have all been fruitless. I will come to him. If only I may touch his clothes, she said, I shall be made well. She laid her all there. She lays bare all that she's got. And she struggles with all her might through the crowd. And she's not a strong woman because of this terrible illness. Oh, that I might touch his clothes. Oh, that I might reach out my hand and touch his clothes. Have you struggled toward the Saviour? Have you ever known what it is to struggle toward the Saviour in unworthiness and in sin? And I beg of you to come this morning. He's not here physically, but he's here invisibly. And he's available invisibly. And he delights to save those who will come. In all their need, he is prepared to listen. Young person here this morning, have you ever come? Have you ever come? She came as she was. If I can but just touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And those that touch Christ with the hand of faith are made well. Is it well with you? Is it well in your soul? Do you know something of the power of the cure that only the Lord Jesus can give? She recognized her illness. Have you recognized yours? Have you recognized your sin? And have you come to the Lord Jesus for the unique cure? But I want you to notice this morning that faith became faith rewarded. Because immediately she touched him, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, we read in verse 29, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Can you just put yourself in her place? Suddenly, an amazing thing happened. For 12 long years, she had been in this terrible state, and she got worse and worse and worse. And that day, as she touched the Lord Jesus, as she touched his clothes, there was power, cleansing power. In one moment, the bleeding had stopped. In one moment, she was free of this terrible hemorrhage. In one moment, she was delivered from a sickness that she'd been held prisoner to for 12 long years. Good health that she had not known all those years penetrated her body. It was an amazing thing. You see, not only was the trouble gone, but she felt it was gone. She had been rewarded for her faith. And no doubt she was strengthened. And my dear friends, we are to take salvation by faith. We're to trust in Christ. And we're to come in all our need as we are, as this woman came in all her need as she was. When a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus, a young person, recognizing their need, they know it is well with their soul. Have you known something, my friend, of the healing of the plague of sin, which we're all conceived with? And if you come to the Lord Jesus and trusted in him, there's a lady many years ago in Southend, and she was a woman of this world. In a home she had many icons, many little idols. And she had been contacted through door-to-door visiting. And after about 10 visits, she said, "It's no good, I've got to come to that meeting." After she had been coming along for a little while, one morning she called on one of her daughters. Then she came to the meeting. And that morning the sermon was, "You must be born again." And that morning she was born again. And after the meeting she went back to see the same daughter. And the daughter said, "What's happened, Mum? You're radiant." That day she had met with the Lord Jesus. She'd been made whole. She'd lived a life of sin, of immorality. A while later, after a sermon on idols, they were all put in a dustbin. She was baptized. She had a neighbor next door called Millie. And Millie started to come, and one morning the sermon was on hell. And Millie shook the hand of the preacher and said, "I came in here thinking I was alright, and now I'm not alright. I'm going home to make peace with God." Have you known that healing touch? That healing touch of the Lord Jesus? I pray that you'll know it this morning. I know that for some people it can be a gradual thing. It can be like a sunrise. For others it can be an immediate thing. And finally, faith revealed, verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Disciples were confused. Loads of people had touched him. You see the multitude thronging you and you say, "Who touched me?" And the Lord Jesus looked around to see who had done this thing. And this poor woman was fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. You can imagine her telling the Lord Jesus a story. "Here I was, in all my need. And I came to you. And it's absolutely remarkable because I've been healed. I've known something now that I've never known for 12 long years. And I touch your clothes." And what a wonderful word, a gracious word from the Lord Jesus. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Here she was making a public announcement. And you can imagine the crowd again. What's going on here? As they listened to the story that this woman had given. She'd been healed just because she touched his clothes. I expect if you and I had been there, we would have been trembling because suddenly, and this is what she didn't expect, that the searchlight would be turned on her. But oh, she so appreciated the healing power that she fell down before him. Have you so appreciated the healing power that you've fallen down before Christ? What a wonderful Saviour. What a glorious Redeemer. Only Christ can change you. Only Christ can touch the heart. Only Christ can heal of this terrible, awful disease of sin. And we see it in our world. We see it on the news, in the newspapers. I sometimes give up reading the newspapers. I'm just sick of reading of the sin of man. To touch the clothes of Christ. To know the healing power of the most terrible disease of all. There's no other cure but in Christ. All other religions do not offer a cure. They do not offer a cure. But come like this woman this morning. Young person starting out in life, come like this woman this morning. And come to the Lord Jesus. You know, one thing I'm sure we've all done, some of us have done this morning, is taken tablets. But you know, the thing about tablets is they just control the problem. Blood pressure tablets help to control the problem. All these other tablets, statins, they seek to control the problem. And of course it's not good for the pharmaceutical companies to find a cure anyway. But oh my friends, the Lord Jesus isn't a tablet we take. It's a cure that is found. And yes, there is the remains of indwelling sin in everyone who comes to Christ, and that's to be dealt with daily. Sin no longer has dominion over the believer. Come this morning as you are. This woman came as she was. She came recognizing her need. She came with nothing to offer Christ. And did the Lord Jesus turn her away? I want nothing to do with you. You're condemned under the Old Testament Levitical law. No, not at all. People would no doubt have kept their wide berth from her. But she touched Christ. Will you not touch him this morning with the hand of faith? As you are. And ask the Lord Jesus to save you and to cleanse you in his sinless blood. And to make you his child. This is the most important thing in your life. Not your education. Not who you might marry. The most important thing in your life is to be saved and to come to Christ. And to know in your heart, it is well. It is well with your soul. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for many here who have known the wonderful cure found only in the Lord Jesus. We realize, O Lord, that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he alone is that one name. Nothing else will do it. But, O Lord our God, we do pray for those here who've never come. Young people. Older people, maybe. Lord, by your Spirit, may they see their great need. And may they come and lay hold upon the Lord Jesus with the hand of faith. And trust him. And trust his finished work alone. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Now to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen.